We're crossing over to Toronto in Canada, speaking to one of the authors of a very wonderful book, and it's In the War on Truth. Is that truth? Is that true? Chuck Stevens, good afternoon to you, sir.
Hello, Johan. Very nice to hear your voice again.
Wonderful having you on air with us all the way from Canada this afternoon. Tell us, how's the weather where you are at the moment?
Well, I'm a very lucky man. You know, I get two summers every year and no winters because I come here for the summertime, and then I'm back in White River, South Africa, at the Desmond Tutu Center for the rest of the year when the weather's great down in the Lowveld.
Isn't that great? Now, how do you commute from there in Canada to White River in the Lowveld?
It's a very long trip, I must say. And as I get older, I'm into my mid-70s now. It seems to get longer and longer.
I can just imagine.
I like the direct flights, so they have direct flights from the United States straight down to Joburg. And that you know, makes it a little more convenient. It's a very long flight, but once you get off the plane, you're there, you know?
Yeah, then you're here. Well,
that's right.
One of these days, you will be back in White River. Chuck, tell us about this book, the new book with Larry Willard, and Is That True? Discerning Truth in an Age of Deception. Let's start. What do you mean with the age of deception? Now, we know what you're talking about, but just explain to our listeners the age of deception.
Well, you understand that... I think we could take this back to the era of films and movies, which is actually a bit before where a book starts. But you know that a film, when you watch it in the theater, it's not like what you're watching is not there.
Yeah.
It's a projection of something on celluloid in a machine behind you, but you're watching it on a screen or the wall in front of you. So it's a kind of deception. There's nothing particularly wrong with it. But, you know, we began at that point to let technology do things to us that we, I think, haven't been critical enough about and haven't thought through what's actually going on here. So that's a kind of deception, to answer your question. And I think, you know, when we say that things are digital, it's another way of saying, well, is it real or is it digital? And then, of course, we're moving into the vocabulary like fake. You know, what we talk about fake news as opposed to, you know, real news. And so, you know, this whole thing of deception makes you wonder. And every time you open the newspaper these days, you wonder who's telling the truth and who's giving, you know, us a con job.
Now, you see, Chuck, you know, you mentioned this in the political world. Now, here in South Africa, you put on CNN News. And just after that, you have a look at Fox News. Now, the one says Trump is talking fake news. The other one says the other side is talking fake news. Now, how do you discern the truth in this area in the political life we are living in?
That's an excellent question, and that's actually what the book was written to try and help people to figure out, because it is very confusing. And by the way, it's going to get worse with the high powers of artificial intelligence coming to us in the next few years, because artificial intelligence tends to bring us artificial truth. Okay. And for those of us who want the real deal, you know, we really have to struggle and get the tools and the skills to learn to be able to discern who's telling the truth. And who's, you know, trying to masquerade for the truth. If I can just explain a bit about the book, Larry Willard, my co-author, is also the publisher. And he is an expert in media and in IT, and also has been watching artificial intelligence as it emerges very closely. So the first half of the book, maybe the first short half of the book, is really his work in terms of explaining to people how quickly these technologies have emerged and how news, for example, giving your example, has changed from what was once, you know, reporting what was happening in the world in different places to actually a type of propaganda where you have, you know, a polarized world and different political factions trying to convince us of what their truth is. And this has an effect on truth itself. For example, you know, we hear a lot these days about what's called subjective truth.
Yeah.
Johan, they'll say, you're South African, you can have your truth. But I'm a Canadian, so, you know, I have my truth, and it's different.
Yes.
But to those of us who both worship Jesus, you know, he is the truth.
Yeah.
And he's not different for South Africa than he is for Canada. He's one truth. And what the book tries to explain, and I hope we've done it justice, is that we're losing in the mix of objective truth, subjective truth, and revealed truth, we're losing or diluting the mix. And the world with science, with atheism, and with artificial intelligence is pushing revealed truth out of the mix and trying to live with only, you know, the subjective truth and the objective truth that we get. And honestly, from a Christian point of view, we see that as being very dangerous. And I will say that Larry Willard, more than myself, relates it to the apocalypse, specifically to Revelation chapters 12 and 13, where, you know, we read about the dragons and the beasts who come out of the lake and then come out of the ground, and they have to fight with the archangels. And I mean, what's going on in our lifetime and will be going on in the next few decades is definitely apocalyptic. I mean, just in the past decade or so, we've passed the point where artificial intelligence is now more intelligent than human beings. Okay, the smartest human beings, you know, our IQs around maybe 150 to 200 if we're really smart, but I don't think many humans go over 200. Artificial intelligence today is already at 250.
Hmm.
And it's developing so fast that we can see in the foreseeable future it's going to get to about 6,000.
Hmm.
And to be honest with you, it's going to outsmart us. And that's apocalyptic. You know, that brings challenges.
Now, talking about that,
we just don't know how to deal with.
Chuck, I want to ask you the question, and I think it's very, it's a very relevant thing at the moment. Say, for instance, in the building of an atomic bomb. Now you have the whole situation with the United States going into Iran, etc. We all know the story. And to prohibit some countries to have atomic weapons and to build an atomic bomb. So we take out the intelligence, the human intelligence. But as you just said, artificial intelligence surpasses 250, where humans, the brightest minds, go to 200. Now, we take out the human mind to build, say, for instance, the atomic bomb. Now, artificial intelligence can come and say, for instance, in the next 10 or 20 years, we don't need human minds and scientists to build these terrible weapons. So everyone can use artificial intelligence. Where is this going, would you say?
I'm not sure anybody knows where it's going. And I'm not sure that we're entirely clear on how to deal with it, except for the basics of trying to hang on to the truth. And that's why we wrote this book.
Yeah.
Obviously, artificial intelligence is a machine. And the way it operates is based on the data you put into it. So it has to be trained. And that's why different devices are, some of them are left-leaning, some of them are right-leaning. So they reflect, I mean, they have biases in the artificial intelligence.
Correct.
Okay. And so I think what you mentioned, the Manhattan Project, that, you know, the race to be the first to build the nuclear bomb, which happened back in the First World War. I think that there's a similar race going on in the world now. And the hope is, I think Elon Musk has articulated this at times, that he's sticking with the race because he wants to make sure that the good guys, so to speak, are the first to get there.
Yeah.
And are able to train it and put the guardrails and the red lines in it that are good. Because if the wrong people get their hands on this, we're in serious, serious trouble.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the concern of the book. And also, you know, the arguments in the media and the fact that the world has become very polarized, and, you know, even family members are shouting at one another because some believe in socialism, others believe in capitalism, and they both believe deeply in, you know, their views. But it tears families apart. It tears and makes a civil conversation be very difficult anymore, because all of a sudden you're quoting, you know, what Fox News said, as you said, or you're quoting what CNN said.
Correct.
And you don't realize sometimes that those things are set up to feed you with propaganda from one side or the other.
Correct. Now, Chuck, so, I want to ask you what, just before I had you on air, I had that beautiful old hymn playing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and a modern version thereof. But the old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He is the truth. Jesus says in the Bible, He is the truth. Now, what would you say, what is the book, Is That True? Discerning Truth in an Age of Deception, tells us as the kingdom, as the church, and bringing it down to the level of the local church, where I go to church on a Sunday, where I am in a cell group or in a Bible study group going into the week. What does the truth mean for me to discern, to go back again, what Fox News is saying on the one hand and what the CNN newscasting is saying on the other hand?
Well, I've got to tell you, this book is a long one. It's about 120,000 words, and, you know, it'll take some time to unpack and explain to you the answer to your question. But speaking of Jesus, I would say that when he talked to that Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, he talked about spirit and truth, that God is spirit, and that you don't have to go up on a mountain in Samaria, or you don't have to go up on a mountain in Judea to worship him anymore. And that was, by the way, the first time where he came out of the closet himself and identified himself to her and said, I'm the Messiah. Because they had been having this very nice conversation, very civil, back and forth, you know, about the differences between their two cultures and so on. And then he said to her, when she asked to know more about this living water that he was offering her, ironically, because she was the one who had the bucket. Anyways, he said, well, go and get your husband and bring him and I'll explain it to you both.
Mm.
And she was honest enough with him then to say, you know, I don't have a husband. And this is what happens in the book. All of a sudden he opened up and he said, no, as a matter of fact, you've had five husbands. And the man you're with now is not a husband. And, you know, by the end of this conversation, she was running to town and calling people out to this well and saying, he told me everything I've ever done. What she was saying was, I found revealed truth. This guy sees things that nobody else can see, and he's telling me.
Yeah.
And I think what the case of the book is that we have to listen. And by the way, by the end of the epilogue of the book, we're looking straight at Jesus, 100%. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
Look full in his wonderful face. That's our advice. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's where the book takes you. But it takes you all across this terrain of what we're living through today and the confusion of different, truths, untruths, lies. Look, it started in the Garden of Eden, let's be honest. Deception isn't anything new. But back then, you know, it was, I think, again, a diabolical mix of some true things and some untrue things that he said to Eve, you know. And she found it hard to sort that out at the moment and to figure it out. So the book is full of tools and advice on how to do that. And when I come back to Romans chapter 13, You know, I note that I just read it this morning before we talked, and a couple of times during this description of the dragon and the beast and so on, he pauses to talk to the Christian community. For example, in verse 10, he says, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. I'm just going to quote that once. He does it a few times. But what he's doing is very similar to our book. He's showing these apocalyptic things that are going on. Okay? And then he's saying, but here's what God's people need to do to cope with this situation. And that's very much why we've written the book. I hope I'm answering your question.
Yes, you are.
You know, we're very much directing people to the need for revealed truth in the mix. Now we're talking philosophy of truth, okay? Muslims have revealed truth. Hindus have revealed truth. You know, we're not the only ones. The Jews have it as well. But I think that it's very important, you know, in any culture that you have to admit that there's higher powers that will speak into, you know, prophetically, what is truth. The problem in today's world, they're trying to get everything from science, they're trying to get everything from technology, and they think that will take you, but it won't take you all the way. That's the advice we give in the book. You need some revealed truth in the mix.
Amen to that. Chuck, where can our listeners get hold of this book?
Well, at the moment, I can give you an email number. It's very simple, an email address, sorry, where it can be ordered in Canada. It is order desk, that's one word, no dots, just order desk at wordalive, and again, that's one word, wordalive.ca, which stands for Canada. So order desk at wordalive.ca, and then you can place an order and they'll send you a book from there. I hope we can find a distributor in South Africa sometime during the year. But so far, it has to be ordered from Canada or the USA.
I do repeat that. Order desk, O-R-D-E-R-D-E-S-K, order desk at wordalive, W-O-R-D-A-L-I-V-E, wordalive.ca for Canada, C-A. Order desk at wordalive.ca. Chuck, what a privilege it was to have you on air this afternoon. When are you coming back to White River?
Well, I'm being ordained as a missionary bishop in September, and so in early October, I'll be headed back. For the first time in my 30 years in South Africa, I'll be a bishop.
Wonderful.
So I'll talk to you then.
Wonderful. Brother, what a wonderful. Would you please, our producer, Janine van Niekerk, just inform her of that so that we, when you are back in South Africa and being ordained as a bishop, that we can have an interview with you again, please. Would you just tell Janine?
I will let you know. Thank you, Johan. Keep up the good work. And, you know, if we never meet in South Africa, we'll be all of eternity together in heaven. So we'll have lots of time to catch up there and talk to one another.
For sure. We'll have a great bride place in heaven.
Okay. Thank you, my brother.
God bless to you. And
okay.
Thank you so much. Chuck Stevens, all the way from Toronto in Canada this afternoon. And just again, this wonderful book called True. Truth. It's a war on truth. It's called Is That True? Discerning Truth in an Age of Deception, written by the authors Chuck Stevens and Larry N. Willard. And you can order it from Order Desk at Word Alive, and that is .ca for Canada. Order Desk at Word Alive .ca. Is That True? The book's title, Is That True? Discerning Truth in an Age of Deception.